An outrageous liability verdict against EAA is reversed on appeal. NATCA says the FAA sent real airliners near thunderstorms as a training exercise for controllers. And Jet Airways announces big cuts. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, October 16th, 2008. The Experimental Aircraft Association has caught a huge break in a lawsuit which forever altered the relationship between the organization and regional fly-ins. Aero News has reviewed and verified as accurate documents dated October 13th from the Court of Appeals of the State of Washington, and they show a controversial ruling against EAA and the Northwest EAA fly-in, stemming from a July 1999 takeoff accident during Arlington's fly-in, has been overturned on appeal. The last line reads, quote, "We reverse the judgment in favor of Corbett and remand for entry of judgment in favor of NWEAA and EAA," unquote. As ANN reported, a Snohomish County Superior Court jury awarded $10.5 million to the family of Don Allen Corbett, the pilot who died July 7, 1999, in an accident at the Northwest EAA fly-in. The jury determined both EAA and the regional organizers were largely to blame. The National Transportation Safety Board report, which unfortunately cannot be legally introduced as evidence in a civil suit, blamed, quote, "the pilot's excessive climb rate, which led to his failure to maintain an airspeed above stalling speed. Factors include the pilot's lack of total experience in the aircraft make and model," unquote. Corbett's widow had sued EAA, Northwest EAA, and the City of Arlington, blaming them for inadequate emergency response and, quote, "because the defendants owned, managed, leased, or otherwise controlled," unquote, the land where Corbett crashed. In overturning the award, the court concluded there was no breach of duty on behalf of EAA or the regional. The city had earlier been cleared of responsibility. Regardless of this recent turn of events, the relationship between the EAA and its chapters and regionals now expressly prohibits use of EAA's name in the title or promotion of a local or regional event, limits EAA's role to promotion and educational activities, and ends the ability of local events to participate in EAA's event liability insurance coverage. If the latest complaint against the FAA by the National Air Traffic Controllers Association is accurate, it provides a chilling indictment of the rate at which the agency is trying to bring trainees up to speed in air traffic control facilities nationwide. The FAA is looking into claims made by a controller in Jacksonville, Florida, that several airliners were rerouted Saturday to test the skills of an ATC trainee, bringing those planes close to thunderstorms in the process. The Associated Press reports a preliminary investigation by the agency shows four flights bound for Orlando International Airport were indeed rerouted into airspace near Savannah, Georgia. Beyond that, it depends on who you talk to. Dave Cook, NATCA representative for the Jacksonville Air Route Traffic Control Center, claims the aircraft were rerouted inland near Wilmington, North Carolina, on orders from an FAA supervisor to test the skills of a trainee handling traffic into Orlando. Cook asserts that in addition to taking the planes at least 60 miles off course, the vectoring put the four aircraft in danger from nearby thunderstorms. The FAA denies thunderstorms were present in the area, but Cook says crews had to zigzag around the storm cells. Quote, "In my 20 years as an air traffic controller, we had never done anything like what they just did," unquote. Cook adds the supervisor also ordered a veteran controller to stack the four flights in holding patterns above 30,000 feet so the trainee could then vector them down for the approach into Orlando. At one point, Cook maintains the supervisor also told one of the pilots to report an incorrect altitude to see whether the trainee would catch the error. When asked for comments by the Associated Press, the FAA said it has, quote, "strict training guidelines which do not permit rerouting flights nor inconveniencing pilots or the flying public," unquote. The three airlines whose flights were allegedly put in harm's way had no comment. Citing difficult times and an expected $2 billion loss in the Indian aviation industry this fiscal year, Jet Airways announced yesterday it's going to cut back its winter schedule by 15%. About 800 flight attendants will be the first to be furloughed, with an estimated 1,100 additional employees to follow later. Jet Airways stressed that the layoffs have nothing to do with the announcement this week of a planned alliance with its domestic rival, Kingfisher Airlines. Both Jet and Kingfisher had earlier said their alliance would, quote, "significantly rationalize and reduce costs with immediate effect," unquote. Australia's Transport Safety Bureau says a Qantas Airbus A330 that suddenly dropped hundreds of feet last week over Western Australia, injuring 20 on board, was the victim of neither turbulence nor interference from a passenger's computer. Both had been earlier theorized. ATSB says instead it has discovered a fault in the aircraft's flight data computer, which caused the autopilot to shut off. Bloomberg reports that Airbus immediately issued an alert Tuesday after the ATSB issued its preliminary report, advising operators of A330s and A340s to be aware of an apparent glitch in air data computers manufactured by Litton Industries, a subsidiary of Northrop Grumman. A330s and A340s equipped with Honeywell air data computers appear not to be subject to the problem, according to the ATSB. Up next on ANN, a Wisconsin prosecutor says a settlement is in the works for Patty Wagstaff. The NTSB discusses early clues in the crash of a TV news helicopter. And an aero medic is killed by contact with a rotor blade during a mountain rescue. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 16th. I'm Paul Plack. Patty Wagstaff was scheduled to appear Tuesday in a Winnebago County courtroom in connection with her arrest on drunk driving charges July 31st at EAA AirVenture. But by late in the day, there was no word on the outcome from the court. Now, the Oshkosh Northwestern reports Wagstaff did not appear and quotes Winnebago County District Attorney Christian Gossett as saying his office is close to a settlement with defense attorneys. The 57-year-old airshow performer was issued citations for first offense operating while intoxicated and refusing to take a test for intoxication. She was stopped on the grounds of Whitman Regional Airport sometime after 10:30 p.m. on July 31st. Wagstaff has suggested that the actions of airport security were inappropriately escalated and that the Winnebago County Sheriff's Office should never have been involved. The National Transportation Safety Board is sharing a few clues into what may have caused the crash of a TV news helicopter in a wooded area of a Houston suburb Monday morning. The pilot, 43-year-old John Downhower, was an employee of Helicopters Incorporated, which provided the Bell 206L4, which TV viewers knew as Sky I-13 HD. The reporter and photographer, along as his passenger, 36-year-old Dave Garrett, was an employee of Metro Networks, a national chain which provides pooled news and traffic coverage to TV stations in many cities. The two were on their way to cover a shooting incident when the chopper went down. Channel 13 TV, KTRK, reports there was a gap of about 2 minutes from the loss of the uplink signal from the aircraft and the 911 call that summoned responders to the crash site. As the wreckage was removed from the scene Tuesday for further testing, NTSB Senior Air Safety Investigator Arnold Scott told the station, quote, "We've examined the helicopter and we're satisfied that the helicopter was intact at impact when it started hitting the trees. We've examined the servos and the pitch and collective linkages. They're all attached, so we don't at this point see a flight control problem. We're having the engine manufacturer, Rolls-Royce, ship down a shipping container, and we'll ship the engine back to Indianapolis where it'll be disassembled and examined," unquote. The tragedy has touched a nerve among local reporters, law enforcement personnel, and others. Visitors have brought flowers and words of condolence to both the crash site and the TV station studios. Further investigation of the wreckage will be conducted at a salvage yard in Fort Worth. An emergency worker with the Arizona Department of Public Safety was reportedly killed in a rotor blade strike during a mountainside rescue attempt. KTAR Radio News in Phoenix reports Bruce Hiroli was assisting with the rescue of two dehydrated hikers Monday afternoon in the Bell Rock area south of Sedona, Arizona. The 36-year-old medic was reportedly able to help one of the hikers into the DPS Air Rescue Ranger Bell 407 and was attempting to guide the second into the helicopter when he was struck by the rotor. DPS Lieutenant James Warriner said the helicopter's pilot, the only other crew member, was able to complete the rescue and fly the two hikers off Bell Rock. Quote, "The pilot had to leave the medic up there because he could not make a full landing and shut down the helicopter. Haroli's body was later recovered by a ground rescue team," unquote. Haroli had been with DPS 9 years. His death was the first loss of a DPS officer in the line of duty in 8 years, according to the radio station. Airbus and Pratt & Whitney have launched joint flight testing of the PurePower PW1000G geared turbofan, with the first flight Tuesday on an Airbus-owned A340 in Toulouse, France. The two companies have partnered on flight testing, a technology demonstrator of the engine, which targets double-digit improvements in fuel burn, environmental emissions, engine noise, and operating costs. The Airbus testing follows Pratt & Whitney's own ground and flight test program. The PW1000G uses a gear system which allows the engine's fan to operate at a speed different from that of the low-pressure compressor and turbine. The result is an improvement in fuel efficiency and a slower fan speed for much lower noise. Still ahead, Russian authorities arrest a drunk would-be hijacker. ExpressJet gets its unions to agree to concessions. And America's newest sport pilot was born without arms. You're listening to Aero News.
Okay. Right up front, let me say that Garmin does not give tax advice. We have lawyers who cringe at the very thought of suggesting there might be tax advantages to buying a new Garmin avionics system this year.
Did he say tax advantages?
Could that be construed as tax advice, either express or implied?
Yeah, like I said, lawyers. So I guess I won't be telling you that this year Congress is offering special bonus depreciation up to 50% in year one for qualified business equipment placed in service during 2008. Business equipment like, say, a new Garmin avionics stack. But you didn't hear that from me, right?
What did he just say?
Okay, better check with your tax consultant for guidance and your Garmin dealer for the installation. Garmin. Follow the leader.
See your tax advisor for guidance.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, October 16th. I'm Paul Plack. The head of Turkey's Civil Aviation Authority says a drunk passenger staged a clumsy, unsuccessful hijacked attempt aboard a Turkish Airlines flight from Turkey to Russia yesterday. CNN reports the plane was carrying 164 Russian nationals and landed safely and on time yesterday afternoon in St. Petersburg, where Russian authorities promptly arrested a slightly intoxicated passenger from Uzbekistan. Russia's Interfax news agency cited a national police spokesman in reporting the suspect was in his early 50s and was arrested on suspicion of trying to hijack the plane. After Turkish media first rushed to report the plane had been hijacked, a Turkish airline spokesman responded that the flight experienced an, quote, urgent situation, unquote, as it headed to St. Petersburg, without offering further details at the time. ExpressJet Holdings Incorporated says it has reached tentative agreements for concessions with four labor unions representing pilots, instructors, mechanics, flight attendants, and dispatchers. Voting is scheduled to be completed by November 1st. As ANN reported, ExpressJet announced it would end its branded service in July, with its last flight operating in early September. The carrier also lost a contract flying Delta Connection flights, leaving the Houston-based airline with just one major contract, flying a fleet of 205 aircraft as Continental Express and with a small charter operation. ExpressJet says if the contracts are ratified, it expects to save $20 million in labor costs. That's a requirement under the amended capacity purchase agreement with Continental Airlines Incorporated that became effective on July 1st. Another $5 million will be saved within the airport services division. If ratified, the contracts will become effective immediately. The space shuttle Atlantis is scheduled to roll back from Launch Pad 39A to the Vehicle Assembly Building at NASA's Kennedy Space Center in Florida Monday to await launch on its mission to repair the Hubble Space Telescope. That mission has been delayed until at least February. As ANN reported, a scheduled October 10th launch was delayed when the main system used to get images from Hubble to Earth failed. Additional crew training and parts will be needed before the visit to Hubble, which was already going to be one of the most complicated space missions ever planned. The next space shuttle flight now will be Endeavour's STS-126 mission to the International Space Station. That's targeted for launch on November 14th. And finally, Jessica Cox of Tucson, Arizona, has overcome more than the usual challenges to earn her sport pilot certificate. Jessica was born with no arms. The Able Flight Scholarship winner passed her check ride last Friday after several months of training with instructor Parrish Trawick in his Aircoop 415C. If you know this plane, you know why it was chosen. It's light enough to meet the LSA limits and uses a unique control mixing scheme to eliminate separate rudder controls. For Jessica, the plane was adapted to be flown with only pedals. Jessica encourages others with disabilities to follow her lead. Quote, "It not only empowers you, but also helps others realize that people with disabilities are adept at attaining privileges that a small percentage of society takes part in. It helps reverse the stereotype that people with disabilities are powerless into the belief that they are powerful and capable of setting high goals and achieving them," unquote. Able Flight's executive director, Charles Stites, says, quote, "As with all of our scholarship winners who have earned their certificates, Jessica has proven that there are no barriers to flight for those who are willing to trade hard work and dedication for the privilege of becoming an aviator," unquote. Able Flight's mission is to offer people with disabilities a unique way to challenge themselves through flight training, and by doing so, to gain greater self-confidence and self-reliance. It's also the only national program of its kind in the United States. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, what impact will the shutdown of DayJet have on the fledgling Very Light Jet segment? We'll hear answers to this and other pointed questions from Eclipse Aviation's Michael McConnell and executives of other companies on the VLJ panel from NBAA. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.